You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Hey, you're listening to Adulting with Horses, the best place to be if you can't be at the barn. We are your co-hosts and equine authors, Heather Wallace and Natalie Keller Reinert. As crazy horse girls, we don't take ourselves too seriously in the saddle or out. We celebrate the things that make us different. Join us as we talk about horses and pop culture and get a little weird in a fun way. Thank you for being a little weird with us.
We're going live. It's live.
We're going. Oh, God. Technology is killing me.
I think that they changed it from record to go live to be like a buzzy thing. Like, you're going live. We're on the internet, man. We're live on the internet.
But the problem is, I think we're like live streaming to Facebook, which I'm like, we only do that for certain episodes, guys.
I listen to a bunch of podcasts and they're like, this is our live show on Facebook and it's at 5:30 p.m. on Monday. I'm like, Who is time? We're sitting down, we're getting on, like, whoa, just finished work. Let me watch an hour long podcast on Facebook.
I can see it being, well, on the train, you know, I mean, I come from an area where it's all commuting. So like an hour on the train is very reasonable as long as they wear their headphones.
We're just eating into people. Some people used to read. These are our former clients. The podcasts are taking them, but we're a podcast too.
So well, and the good thing is some of our books are on audio. So there you go.
Yeah. Man, I miss that commute with
books. This is a special episode because we are on our shit this month. And this is one of our Book Barn episodes. So yay.
And welcome to the Book Barn. Behind me, I have books and I have horses. It is a book barn. Whereas you are looking ethereal, like a wood nymph. Who has ventured into a cottage.
You have a lot more books out than I do.
You have better natural lighting in your house than I do.
I really do. There is no filter on this. I'm just going to say. I'm very lucky. But
it is extremely beautiful and I'm frustrated by it.
Well, what really happened, if you want to know, because we're going to do a behind the scenes episode. Okay. Today is all about behind the scenes, the life of an author. Well, what really happened is I was like, I have this whole day to myself that I'm going to write, I'm going to do errands, I'm going to talk to Natalie. And then my housekeeper's like, I'm going to come a day early and I'm going to clean your house. And I'm just like, well, shit. So then I had to make myself scarce for 2 hours. And now what my normal setup is not available.
Where were you for 2 hours?
I mean, like, it's hard. I went and I had a nice little sit down breakfast, you know. I do live at the beach, so I had a nice little cup of tea.
Is that why your hair looks
nice
so good?
Sit-down breakfast.
Is it windblown? Your hair looks amazing.
It is. That's why I look so ethereal, because my hair
is... You literally look like, yeah. I wandered out of the woods, but now I see you were at the beach, and your hair is salty.
I might have been sun-kissed a little bit, because I don't, you know, SPF and all that.
You're not an imp. You're a mermaid.
Yeah. So I mean, real life gets in the way sometimes. And I mean, I thought it'd be fun to kind of talk about you and me because we're at different stages in our author career. So like how fun would it be to do a little behind the scenes for us both?
Yeah, I'm in my butt is sore all the time stage of my author career.
And I'm in the, oh my God, I don't have time to sit down to write stage of my author career. So there you go, everybody.
You know, it's really funny that you bring this up because over the weekend, like I'd had a kind of like down couple of weeks and I wasn't sure 100% what was going on. And then I realized it was that like since Ben gave himself a quarter crack, I haven't really been doing too much with him. And spending that time, you know, if you want to ride a horse, you need 3 hours, right? Like you got to. To pull everything together, to do the ride, to close it all out, clean up after, that's 3 hours. That's hobby time, essentially, that I no longer had. And so I was focusing 100% on like, oh, I love writing. Oh, I love reading. These things are important. But I wasn't doing anything else for several weeks. And it totally wrecked me in the craziest way. And I realized I need to like pick a hobby for the summer. So my number one behind the scenes thing is like, it becomes your life so quickly. And it feels like it should be like, oh, this makes perfect sense. I will live the aesthetic reading life where I write my book and then I prop my feet up and I read six more books for inspiration. And the truth is, that's terrible. You would think it would be great. But yeah, your brain just, I'm like, I can't read anymore. This is insane.
Reading is hard.
It's hard. And things don't even occur to me. Like, it doesn't occur to me because I've been so busy. Like, something like turning on the TV has never really entered my brain space. And on Saturday, I watched an entire movie. It was a documentary and it had something to do with the book that I'm writing. But I had wanted to watch it for a really long time, but it never occurred to me, like, hey, did you know you could sit down and like eat some hummus and watch this movie and you wouldn't have to write or be reading? You could just like absorb information in this very like brain-friendly way. So absent-minded professor comes to mind. Like, that's how
I was thinking it's probably good because writing and reading is so cerebral, right? Like, you're using one side of your brain. That it's good to have a hobby. It doesn't have to be horse riding, but mm-hmm. It's good to have a hobby that gets you up and out in the fresh air or something that gets you moving using your other facilities.
Yeah. Well, I already go to the gym, so I'm moving. But
isn't a hobby like
a hobby is anything? I mean, so here's what I'm gonna do. I'm going on a cruise in September. And I am going to, so on, I think on a lot of cruises, they do gift exchanges, right? Where like you sign up with a certain number of staterooms and you give people little gifts during the cruise.
Never heard of that.
Okay. So I don't know if other cruise lines do it, but on Disney Cruise Line, they do it and it's called a fish extender. And the reason it's called a fish extender is because there's a little fish outside of the doors on the cruise ships. And people figured out that you could hang something off of the fish. So they started making these pouches to hang off of them with their names on them. And you could put things in them. And so they became the fish extender in that you could hang things off of them, extend the fish hook, and put gifts in them. So I'm going to do some fish extender gifts, which I'm really excited about because I'm going to do like some handmade things. Just like...
fun.
Yeah. So, and it's only for... There's like five... staterooms in a group. So you come up with, you know, what's something cute that I can do five times. And I'm going to do it like for two different gifts. And I'm really excited about it. Like that's my hobby right now is I'm going to do some crafts at my kitchen table that I wouldn't do necessarily and that don't require going outside because having an extra outdoor hobby in summer in Florida is really more about water sports, which I don't do. I would have to like buy a boat.
To the girls about that. Like, we're obviously lucky that we live near the ocean, but we have found in real time now that I'm back that weekend traffic is a thing. So my daughter wanted to go to Dover Saddlery. So, you know, weekends are about the children for mm-hmm. me now at this point. And it was 95 degrees. And my daughter's like, we should go to Dover Saddlery before the store closes. And I was like, I said yes. And then I realized it was Saturday. I can get there. I will not be getting home within 2 hours because of the beach traffic and I'm not sitting in it. And then she's like, well, why don't we go Sunday? And I said, okay, but we're not going anywhere south Sunday because I'm not driving back up north, you know, like to the other beach towns. So it's like a real thing. So I said, it's now officially summer season and I will not be going out between the hours of 10 and 2 p.m. Like, unless I'm working, I refuse.
That makes sense.
Too hot.
It is. It seems to get worse here in the mid afternoon, and then I just pray for some cloud cover. I did go out and play with Ben yesterday and the day before, like do Liberty stuff. But that's like 15 minutes. It's not really the same.
Yeah, short
demand on your time as riding. So I had to develop a temporary hobby just to distract my brain from the writingness of it all.
I don't know about you. But for me, I get my best ideas when I'm distracted from writing. Like when I'm not sitting in front of the computer is when I actually get the best ideas.
Yeah, I don't give myself a lot of empty space. Probably I should give myself more. I listen to stuff a lot. Like sometimes I just want, when I quit working, I really just want to quit working. And I'll put in a podcast just to shut my brain up. And I know... a lot of people like they'll fit into their day like I'm fitting in my thinking walk where I go and do my thinking. I'm like, I can't do any more thinking. Just leave me alone. brain, stop, just enough. I don't need extra time.
I'm like a butterfly. I'm like flitting around here, there, and everywhere because, you know, the kids' activities or work or errands or things like that. So when I finally sit still, I go to crack open my computer and like I get ding, 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 all the emails and social media notifications. And then I have to like, you know, it's really hard to ignore those. I'm really good at it, but it's hard to ignore them.
I feel like sometimes I just can't open. Like I'll open my laptop and if my document isn't already open on the screen, it's extremely hard to open it, even though I want to do it. Like to give in and click that button, because I know then once that document's open, I have to sink into it. I have to read it, you know, at least a few pages of what's there that I've been working on. And I have to say, okay, I'm committing myself for the next, you know, let's say 20 minutes. I need to be in deep thought. And then if I can hold on to that and not take a little break, that's great. And that feels really daunting. And yes. I also I've recently found out that I have an iron deficiency and that actually contributes to that inability to commit to things, oddly enough.
Oh, really? Maybe.
Yes. Yeah. So it turns out.
Like in the past, I just thought it was my attention deficit disorder.
Iron deficiencies make that worse. This is the thing I have just learned. Like your D vitamin, your B vitamins, and your iron, when they're low, your ability to concentrate and commit and make decisions, like,
I'm low on
disappears.
All of those. Yeah. My doctor just sent me my new blood results for the hormone replacement. And she's like, you know, your numbers for your B and your D are really low. And I thought you were on the supplements. I'm like, have not been taking. Sorry.
I know.
Like, that's clear. So, okay. So that's good to know. Well,
yeah,
you know,
take the supplement.
For me, because I do hyper focus, if I can sit down and I open up that Scrivener is what I use to write on. If I open that and I start writing, I'm committed. Like I get into it and I want to be able to designate that for the day until I have to get up to pee and get like a drink of water or something like that. So like I need a solid block of time, like at least 2 hours, probably more. And then once I start the ball rolling, then I start like waking up in the middle of the night with ideas and I start getting, you know, really excited about it. But unlike, you know, you and I are similar in the way, like sometimes we have multiple projects kind of going at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so like we talked about this earlier, like, am I feeling fun fiction-y today or am I feeling like in my feels that I need to get something out cathartic wise and write my nonfiction. And so that I think does me some trouble because it's hard to get into the flow when I'm kind of jumping around.
If you can't pick too, that's really difficult. And you're right. When you focus on one thing, like, so I have been writing one project. And when I say writing, that encompasses a whole lot of things since like mid spring. Like since like, let's say April, May, June, okay? This project, the depth of this goes back years at this point. But for me to say, okay, this is how I'm going to write this and show it to other people was a lot of character work, like digging into writing pre-book scenes for the characters and getting to figure out where I wanted to start the book, which changed radically where I thought I was going to start the book, right? Because I had all of this like prehistory for these characters and figuring out how to take a whole page of information and make it like two sentences midway through that still conveys everything that needs to be said. Insane, right? So I started in a completely different way. I changed a whole bunch of things. And then I wrote the first couple of chapters of it. And then I started writing a synopsis and that took a whole other thing. It was like this, where am I going to take this? My synopsis wound up being 25 pages long.
Holy girl.
It is like 1.5 spaced. So it's, you know, if it was single spaced, it'd be like 16 pages long or whatever. But I mean, it's practically a book in and of itself, like a novella. And then I finished up to five chapters. And this was a span of like 2.5 months. So now I have 20,000 words of this book. the first third. And I had, well, the first fourth, I guess. And I have this 25-page synopsis. And I built out a pitch deck on Canva, which I used to like help me figure out who the book is for, who's going to read it, what kind of books is it similar to, you know, how does that audience draw in? And then all of the things that can be done with it, because I feel like it could be a really big like franchise game changer for whoever takes it on. So that I had all these materials that I worked on for 2.5 months, like huge. Like I was going to
say a really good point right now, which is for our readers out there, is that writing is only a very small part.
Yes, very small percent.
I think people don't truly understand that getting the words down in some ways is almost the easiest part.
And it's the part that it's hardest to find the time for, because like right. You said, it's great when you have 2 hours and you can say, oh my God, I'm going to sink into this. And that's when your brain does that nice thing of working on it for you while you're doing other stuff. And it's so noticeable when you're focusing on that draft for a couple hours a day, that you go to the gym and you're listening to something and your brain's like, oh, by the way, this is going to work really well. And you're like, oh shoot, I got to make a note of this. Or you're watching a movie or reading another book and your brain's like, gotcha, you know, gives you some more stuff. I mean, that's the magic. That's where all the good stuff comes from.
Really.
Yeah.
You know, and then when I set that aside that time, which, I mean, obviously, that's the thing I've been struggling with the last 2 years and why I haven't had anything new. But I'd starting to get to the point where, like, I can do that. Like, morning, for me, is my best time. It's when my brain is the most relaxed. It is the happiest. It's the most, I would say hyper-focused. on the task in hand. And so if I just commit like that little bit of time in the mornings, like when I'm drinking a cup of tea and I sit down in front of the computer, like for me, that's when I get the most stuff done. But for you, I know you're a little bit different. You're more of like an afternoon.
Right, in the afternoon now. Role. Yeah. It's, I used to write in the morning, but it was kind of like the way my schedule dictated. It was easier to write in the morning, but my brain is more curious in the morning. I find it really hard to commit to anything. Like I can't even really pick up a book in the morning. I bounce around the internet and I'm looking at different stuff and I check things and I'll do some research and I'll play around on Reddit. Like I do so many things in the morning. And then like an hour and a half will go by and I go, you know, you should really think about like doing some work. And if I can, that's great. But I love the block of time I usually have in the afternoon. Like I go to the gym, I have some lunch, and then I have like 2 hours where I just like put in some soothing music and I just write or revise whichever part I'm at. And that's where I get the most work done. And it's funny because like I love taking a nap and I used to nap in that space of time.
That's where I nap.
But I really want to work right now. Like, I'm like, I really want to finish this piece. So I'm going to stay awake and do it. It's been working really well. But I feel like it changes. Like your brain chemistry might change or your schedule changes. And you just have to figure out where can you get that hour or 2 hours where you can dig in.
I mean, this is my kid's last week of school. So suddenly the skies are opening and the flexibility, because I don't know if you remember, most teenagers don't wake up early when they don't have anywhere to be. And I have one child that will sleep until 3 or 4 p.m. because she goes to bed at like 3 or 4 in the morning. And so I get up with the dogs. I get up with the cats. I'm up for the day around 5:36 every morning. So if I do that stuff, go water the garden, do what I need to do, and then write from like 7 to 9 and then work from 10 on, that's a pretty great day for me.
That sounds amazing. I wish I could do that. Yeah. Because mornings are beautiful. And there's promise in the morning that I find very charming, but then it passes and I get really sad. Like I used to get up early and I would be like, oh my God, it's 8 o'clock. Anything could happen. And then I'm like, it's 11. This day is done.
Oh my God.
I have that whole morning has gone. I don't know what causes that level of
you are
pessimism, cynicism, but I'm really
more of a glass half full kind of girl. I'll tell you that. And I mean, is it weird? So just talking to you and hearing that makes me be like, you know what? I should set up a writing space in my garden. You know, because like how nice would it be for me to sit out there? I have a little bistro set, I have a little shaded area. I could spend my mornings out there because after 9 a.m., it gets so hot that we have to come in for a minute.
Yeah.
Until like evening. And so maybe that's what I do for the summer. And I kind of focus on making myself a little writing space. The kids will be inside asleep. The cats will be doing their own thing. The dogs are chilling. That sounds great.
I might actually get
a project done.
I had a bistro set when I lived in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And I wrote in the summertime, I wrote Outback. I had a little hibiscus in a pot, and that was my garden. And I've written books here, like in the springtime on my back porch. And really enjoyed, yeah, just anytime I can be outside, I feel really good. So just right
Me
now,
too. I always tell people, like, I'm outsidey, not outdoorsy.
Yeah,
you know definitely. What I mean.
Right? I do.
You do.
Like, I'm a porch person. I would like to be on my porch. Thank you.
100%. I just texted my, you know, I'm working on my garden. And I, and this drought the last couple of days has been, well, month, has been really bothering my plants. And so I don't want to plant too much because the heat stretch. So I have to wait till it's cooler. I texted my handyman and I said, hey, you know those shades they put up, you know, that you could take down at like the end of the summer, but they have like the beautiful like mesh shades that you can put up. And like, I said, why don't we do one of those over the garden? Then I'd actually sit out there during the day. And he said, I've done those before. Absolutely. I said, great. No rush, but come take measurements when you can.
Yeah.
And I'll order, you know, everything.
I love an outside drape. Oof,
that's
so pretty.
I want enough sun for the plants, but I need it filtered for me and them because it's just too much direct sun, you know? And so if I set up all these places to my liking, I'm more likely to sit out there and enjoy it rather than thinking how I'm going to improve the space.
Yes.
I can't divide and conquer. My brain is really hard.
I know. It's like, this isn't right. Therefore I can't use it.
I can't settle down.
Yeah. That's a huge thing. I feel like we had a point with this house where we have to redo the furniture in this house. Like, we had so much old stuff, you know, from living in apartments here, you know, such a hodgepodge that we literally just had to bite the bullet and like get a huge order in from IKEA to organize the house. And then we felt so much better. And I think we've probably accomplished more with our lives since we got
Isn't
decent
that funny?
Furniture.
Yeah, like a busy environment. You know, mm-hmm. I haven't had a desk in almost a year. So that's part of my problem. I was always used to, I mean, a lot of times also I haven't had my dog. I used to sit on the couch or my desk and have the dog right next to me. And now my little doggo's gone. And so like, I'm kind of, I need a new routine is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think I would work better with an office with a door than what I've got because I'm so distracted when someone walks past me. Like, I remember when I worked in an office, like, I couldn't cope. It's like, I how do you expect me? Because I was, you know, I was writing copy.
Yeah.
I was like, how do you expect me to write copy when there's people wandering around? There's people on the phone. There's
people gossiping,
you know, they're
and having
eating
conversations
snacks.
That you're not a part of.
Like, this is insanity.
Yeah.
So I just stopped going to the office. They'd say, where's Natalie? Like, oh, I don't know. And I went to Universal sometimes because we were across the street from Universal. I'd go to one of the resort hotels. I'd just walk over. Open up my laptop there, anywhere where like I could be away from people.
That's why I like doing a little staycation, just getting a hotel room. And I mean, now I obviously have the house to myself certain days of the week, but I need to get into the routine here. So like, treat it like a staycation when my kids are gone.
Yes. Yeah, you just get to, you know, have some snacks ready to go, so you don't have to cook. Not having to cook is like a huge, huge part, I think, of like a writing session.
Yeah, and I don't have a Corey who's going to be able to provide sustenance for me if I get lost in the weeds.
No, but, you know, you can call and order some dinner or, you know, whatever is, like, friction-free. Like, you just to sink into writing is removing friction.
Yes.
And something like, oh, I have to make some food can really – it can throw off your whole day. Like,
well,
even
then,
just
getting
up to make lunch.
That,
like, oh, that's 45 minutes.
Right. And then you have your food coma. Do you want to go back or do you want to take a brain break, right? And then if you take a brain break, do you stop working altogether? So, well, I'll tell you, I am getting excited because now all I want to do is go sit in my garden and write.
Mm.
Isn't that good?
You're going to need a pitcher of lemonade.
Mm.
Probably with a lemon slice that you put on the glass, you know, cut just
and
so.
Fresh mint from my garden.
Yeah, the whole aesthetic will help you. It will make you better. And you should take a picture beforehand too, just to
to prove that I did it.
Prove it. Set the scene. You got the aesthetic. You're marketing yourself a little bit, and then you go in. You're like, I've accomplished all of my goals.
It's proof I'm writing.
Proof.
There you go.
I was deleting screenshots off of my phone, and I did find a lot of screenshots from like 2020, specifically of word count. I don't know what I was doing.
I do remember those social media posts. You were posting a lot of word counts. You're like, it was like you were like doing your own NaNoWriMo or whatever.
I was just running from my fear at that point.
For me, you know, this is like a last little behind the scenes thing. For me, I like to close a thought. So like I really try not to get up from my computer unless the chapter's done. Like, you know, I'm not one to leave mid-chapter, period. Like,
yeah,
it's too broken for me.
It's, you know, moving to like a synopsis has really helped me. I did for the first five chapters of this book, I was using a book called Story Genius to help me really get the premise for this book right, because it's complicated and it's something
historical, right? The historical.
This is the historical. Okay. Yeah. So there's a lot of moving parts and I just wanted to just get it right or as close to right at the beginning as I possibly could, which is why I did a lot of behind the scenes character work and a lot of, I did scene cards, which I don't love. I'm not great at this is the third rail of the character's arc, stuff like that. And that's like integral to this Story Genius concept, but it's not my strength. I just don't think like analytically about emotion. So it's really hard. But I did a few and it did let me say like, that's what this chapter is. And I can come and go to this chapter and I have a note right here. I'm using Scrivener. And so I take the screen card info and I drop it into the box on the side, on the right-hand side of Scrivener. So I can glance over and say, that's where this needs to finish up at. You know, am I getting there in 4,000 words or so? And because my chapters are long in this book and that's just the way it's going to be.
I was going to say that's like double what mine are, but my books are more beachy reads. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's double, but I want it to feel like, I want it to have like a fairy tale richness. And so I wanted to have like these layers of atmosphere. And so I'm giving a little more space to like the character having a side quest thought and then coming back to the main point. You know what I mean? I just want it to feel like really classic and lush, you know, so I'm giving it some extra word count. You know, if somebody tries to take out some of it later, then we'll talk about it later.
That's right. We can speak on it later.
But writing in a fairy tale voice is fun. It's something I'm really good at and I don't get to do it with contemporary books. So my weird little fantasy is getting the treatment.
Well, and so how long do you think? So you have what, five chapters?
Actually, I have six, but five that are like revised and sent to my agent, and she's going to read it this week and then send me some notes.
So let's give our listeners/readers a little sneak peek. How long? Because I know how long it takes me to finish a book on average. How long does it take you to finish a book on average?
I don't know. Maybe
now, mind you, you're a machine.
I know, but I have so many distractions now that like I didn't used to have. Like because this week. Right now, I have past pages for Friends with Horses, which is coming out in February 2027, which means I have to read the entire book as it's laid out on the published page, like typeset and ready to go. And I have to make notes about changes that I want made to it. So I'm 80 pages into that. I have to finish it because on Thursday, I'm getting copy edits for Outside Rain, the third book, which is coming out March 2027. And so I have to read all the notes from the copy editor and decide if I'm making a change, if I'm leaving it, if I have to rewrite something. So that's going to take a week. And during that time, I won't be probably finding much thinking space to work on this other project again. But I might, you never know. When will I have it done? Probably by the end of summer. Honestly, probably by September because
that's
three months.
That's what I'm thinking for me too.
Yeah. Yeah. 3 months. I mean, it'll have to be revised, obviously, but the first draft, it'll probably be just over 100,000 words. It'll probably be 25 to 30 chapters. And, you know, if you're writing 2,000 words in a session and you're writing 4 days a week because something always happens on the fifth day, then you can't get to work. And I do really try to take 2 days off a week right now because I have been so working so hard. Then, like,
well, you know,
you deserve 2 days off.
You know,
yeah, some vacation time. So yeah, so it comes out. So yeah, probably the end of summer, and then you know, it'd probably be like revised with my agent and ready to send somewhere. Probably not until January.
Yeah, well, that's different because you're getting all the third parties involved. Like, mm-hmm. you know,
yes, I gotta wait on them.
Like top to tail, if like so beyond expectations, because that was with a publisher that took maybe 2 years all in.
Yeah,
right. Like it took me like I would say about 9 months to write it because we had to do a lot of prep stuff and interviews and things like that. And then after that, you know, it's like 6 months of edits and blah, blah, blah. And then you go to print. But for me, like for example, the Green Mountain Romance series, I think top to tail, it takes maybe 3 to 4 months for me to like write it, proofread, do the edits with the editor, proofread again, all that kind of stuff. So it's a yeah. commitment, but like when I focus on it, I can actually do a really good job.
No, totally. Because you can do two books a year without killing yourself.
Right.
One reason is because you can book your editor and know when they're going to do it.
Yes.
And for me, with people I'm not paying who are paying me, I have to wait a lot longer for those edits.
Well, I'd like, in an ideal world, I'm going to release something for Equine Affair, but I would like to publish a nonfiction and a fiction each year, like one of
yeah.
them. You know,
I think that's really wise.
I think that's reasonable too. I think mm-hmm. that's very reasonable. And I mean, of course, the nonfiction has to fit. But you know, there's always ideas that pop up, especially when I talk with other people. And you know, I get these crazy ideas that I somehow end up in Africa potentially for.
What I like doing and I want to keep doing is squeezing in like short stories that go into my Patreon, and then I can print those privately and take them to Equine Affair. So
that's such a fun idea.
That's what I'm going to keep doing. So like at Kentucky 3-day event, I brought Pete's story, which is a novella. And it has two stories in it. It has Pete and then it has When Lacey Met Jules. I printed that. I took it to Kentucky 3-day event and I sold it in like 6 hours. It was gone.
Right. Well, you know, I love only available here. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what I have. I have the Handbook of Excuses. And so, you know,
it's such a fun souvenir. Like, oh, we, you know, we all met up and you got this souvenir of our little time together.
Yeah. And it's signed.
And you can't get it anywhere else.
It's not available wide and things like that. So I love that for us.
Yeah. So I'll try to have, I'll have pizza, but I might have something else at Equine Affair too, because I've done a few more stories since then. You never know what I have time to do in between my new hobby of making things for strangers on cruise ships.
Listen, we're our own worst enemies when it comes to filling our time. The one thing you and I will never have is boredom.
I mean, seriously, if there's boredom, it's like, what are we doing wrong here?
I will literally probably be dead because like, or severely injured. Like, how could I just keep swimming, guys?
Yeah. And make room for whimsy, you know,
make room for whimsy.
That's been like a new watchword for me this year has been like, are you doing this for the whimsy of it? Is this cute? Do you like that it's cute? And maybe you don't want to admit how much you like that it's cute. Just admit it and go with it.
I mean, here I am on a Monday wearing a really pretty goddess dress, not having brushed my hair, you know, came in from having a nice little breakfast on the water. My life mm-hmm. is freaking whimsical and I, you know, expect to keep it that way.
Yeah.
It took me a lot to get here.
I have currently behind me, I have my, you know, my plush bunny collection. Mm-hmm. And somebody has put a beach ball hat on one of my plush bunnies. And I don't know who.
Your son is home.
He's home. But the beach ball hat belongs to Daisy Duck, who is sitting on my desk. And she's not wearing her hat. Daisy Duck.
Well, on that note,
Isn't
we
she
should probably
cute?
wrap up our little that's very cute.
You have to surround yourself with cute and imagination if you want to write,
and
because
maybe
otherwise you
not
will be
all
serious.
animals like me, because then
Yeah,
they're a distraction.
they take a lot of work.
So yeah, surround yourself by whimsy. I'm gonna go and create. It's too late this morning because it's now, midday.
Yeah.
But tomorrow morning, I will be creating. No, I'm working tomorrow. Wednesday, I will be creating some freaking whimsy, and I will be sitting down to write. So I'll send you a little screenshot so you know I'm actually doing it. You
Well,
can be my accountability partner.
I look forward to seeing your new garden space. It sounds
Yes,
adorable.
I just planted some rose drift trees.
Oh, so
Yes, I'm
fancy.
very excited about
I'm in
it.
tomato heaven right now, so I'm just like bringing in tomatoes every day.
My tomatoes are insane. They're actually popping up in the woodwork. They're literally like, I found potatoes that I didn't plant. I found cilantro I didn't plant. I found all this stuff. My cucumbers are about to pop. So I'm very
Oh yeah,
excited.
I've just started bringing in cucumbers. Oh, I love cucumbers.
Yeah, so I'm gonna pickle some, I think, because why wouldn't I?
That's what this is what your favorite writers do.
Yeah.
We amuse ourselves with vegetables and and we look for whimsy.
We look for whimsy, and that's how we become writers.
Pretty much.
Thank you for being a little weird with us, horse girls. If you like what you hear, make sure to subscribe to the podcast on your player of choice. Follow us on Instagram at Adulting with Horses Podcast, or even better, join our Adulting with Horses Clubhouse on Facebook, where you can become part of the show. Also, it's a great place to meet other horse crazy women. Thanks, and see you next time.